Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive. It is full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even Nevada, asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is the discerner, the seer into of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we ask you, God, today to teach us, lead us, guide us, bring us into all truth, cause us to understand, to comprehend your word clearly so that we may use it for every part of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, illumination to us, so that we will hear your word and we will see what you are saying in Jesus' name. There will not be anything to stop us from receiving what you have for us in Jesus' name. We cancel the assignment of the enemy in Jesus' name, and we call the blessings of God upon each and every one in Jesus' name as they receive this word. Now, Satan, I come to you. I cancel you. You are canceled. The Bible says we resist the devil, he must flee. We're not going anywhere. You got to go. You have no right in these proceedings. And I saw where you're going. You're going to the lake of fire. There will be no remedy. There is no salvation for you. So I torment you with that because I know you hate it. But you need to get out of here or I'm going to torment you more. Because this word is going into good ground to bring forth great fruit and abundance in the lives of these people. I decree a thing, I call it done in Jesus' name. We call it done. And I cancel, by the way, Satan, your retaliating demons, they will not do their job. This word is going free course into the lives of these people. And blessings becomes their lives now. In Jesus' name, I call it done. And everybody said amen. Give somebody a high five once again before you be seated. Come on, you are in the midst of family. I said, you're in the midst of family. Hello, fam. Oh, we're going to deal with that one today. We're going to deal with that. All right, we are studying the subject, what do I owe thee? God, what is it that I owe thee? I mean, you know, come on. Do I really have to be able to owe you something? And what is it that I owe you? What do I owe thee? That's the question. Now, as we study through this, we have been taking a lot of different trails. We went to the Holy Spirit for a short period of time. We dealt with some issues having to do with feeling like what's the use. We've gone through some processes of trying to understand the mind, will, and emotion, the imagination and intellect, our soulish realm, which every one of us deal with. You are not going to need, and I need to teach this strongly. This is why I say I'm a man of the soul. I am Dr. Don Soul Man Shorta. Because eventually you talk to me, we're going to get to your soul. What are you going to get to? We're going to get to where you think, your mind. We're going to get to whether your whether your will is yielded to God's will or not, your will. We're going to get to your emotions, how you feel, whether that makes you feel good. A lot of us, the only thing we do is stuff to make us feel good. Most people say, I don't want to. And the reason why they don't want to, because they don't feel good. And some of our feelings are going to take us to hell. You keep giving them feelings. You can't just live by your feelings, what makes you feel good. Some things we do in the kingdom of God don't feel like nothing. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Ain't nothing I can say about it. You just suck it up and keep going. Sometimes you feel like you're well, and sometimes you feel like you're sick. Sometimes you feel like you're saved. Sometimes you feel like you're going to hell. Sometimes you feel like you're a victor, and sometimes you feel like you're a victim. So what? You don't live this life by how you feel. But if we surround people, oh, I'm going somewhere, boy, I'm gonna hit you on the other side of your head. I'm telling you, but if we surround ourselves with people that help us with just our feelings and not with our spiritual life, you will be a mess. And that's usually what we do. Find some sucker or some woman that helped you to feel the way you, I don't feel good. I don't either. Misery loves company. Welcome, baby. Now, I just talk like y'all do in your living room on Thanksgiving, okay?
But I can't clear it up because I am a broadcaster. And air traffic control does need to hear me too. So if you want me to go that way, I'll go that way too. So we need to make sure that everything that we do is to the glory of God. Oh, y'all like that better, okay. We should do everything we can do to make sure that God receives the glory. Regardless of how we feel, it should not be based on our feelings, because that's the emotions, that's part of the soul. Some of us live off imaginations. Things that are not true that you think in your head. Some people have relationships based on watching soap operas. Whatever Erica used to do back in the 70s, that's what you would do. Come on now, all my children. You don't think I know that stuff. Yeah, General Hospital too. And General Hospital is real. I've had to deal with these hospitals for a month and a half straight. And I'm telling you, boy, I'll tell you. Peyton Place and Dynasty, Dallas, all of that, Dynasty, whatever they called it. I called it Dynasty. But anyhow, all of that is in the same, it's on the same floor in that hospital. Them folks is crazy. You know what I'm talking about, nurse. ICU nurse, emergency room nurse. You know what I'm talking about. But you got the personality for it. You got the perfect personality for it. You know how to deal with them folks. You just pay them no attention. But see, we have to not surround ourselves with people that help us on the soulish realm in the negative side. To help us to feel it, baby. I feel you. No. It don't matter what you feel. And some of those people are the only ones we call our fam. Oh, God talked to me about y'all. I didn't know a lot of this. Go with me, please. We got to deal with the scriptures first. Go with me to Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 1. Joshua chapter 7, verse number 1. Now, we dealt with this. Put that up on the board. I'm going to read it mostly off the board because I want to be able to walk today. I might even get off this perch and go down there and preach some word. Can I do that sometime? Shoot, yeah. Anyhow, let's go to Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 1. And let's spend a few minutes on the word. Because now, if the lighting ain't good, I can't help that. We'll fix it. But I feel like getting off this thing up here. Now, I got the New King James Version of what we're dealing with here. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. Underline that. Now, something's wrong here. But it's not saying that one dude did it. It's saying the whole children of Israel committed a trespass. Somebody violated something, and God is considering the whole group is in trouble because of one dude that did something stupid. Have you ever been with a group and said, I didn't do it? But they still say, hands behind your back, feet spread out. I didn't do anything. And you're arrested in that whole process, maybe not with handcuffs, but you're looked at as part of the group. But you ain't do nothing. So here's what it's saying. It's saying that about Israel, the whole nation. Listen to me. You are living your life not just for you. You are living your life for people that will come after you. Your lineage, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Now, we have 7 grandchildren. I do not have a great-grandchild yet. That's why I still feel like I'm 17. Just kidding. As soon as I get a great, hey, I'll go ahead and be 70, which I am. And you know, I'm thankful to be 70. I am very thankful. I think I look pretty good for 70. I mean, you know, I've seen others, but you know, others look better, others look worse. It depends on how you take care of the equipment. You know what I mean? So I don't feel too bad being 70. I feel sort of cool being 70. Every once in a while, I won't put makeup on the side of my sideburns and let myself look like I'm 70. There's a little Maybelline information for you. Just kidding. You guys are so funny. But this man did something. He violated what God said. Everything in this world is not for you. You can't do like everybody else. You, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you have not, you can by the end of this service. We always give four calls: to be born again, recommit your life to God, be able to receive the Holy Spirit, or to become a member of this church. Four calls. Our father in the faith, Apostle Price, taught all of us pastors that because it was fuzzy for a long time in churches. Are you a member or are you not? Sit in a chair, stand up in front of the chair, you know, run around the chair. I mean, what do you do? People don't even know. You got to be born. You must be born again. And some of us go to church. We go to church as much as the chairs do, but we still ain't saved. Some of y'all get that when you on your way home today. You didn't get that. But the children of Israel, this is what bothers me. I want to serve my life independently. I don't want no fool living for the world to affect me. This is why I won't go into business with just any jackleg guy. I don't care how much money they got. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be a partner with just anybody because I came from the media, okay? I spent 15, 20 years in the media, in broadcasting, news and investigation and doing reports and interviewing people and all that kind of stuff and trying to get them tripped up in interviews on television. I do not want to be able to be the next headline. I think in scriptures and headlines. That if God heard what I'm thinking of doing or who I'm looking to be associated with, what would he say? That's the first thing I think. The next thing is that if the media broadcast what I just did, where would I be? And that keeps my life pretty straight for me. I mean, you know, that's all I need. Because I don't want to affect people negatively, especially about the kingdom. And I sure don't want God to be displeased with me. As far as y'all, I don't give a rip. No, I'm just kidding. No, I do care what people think, but only to a point. Because I can't let you control the way I operate. Now, this is just me. This is just me. But I'm supposed to be an example to the flock. I didn't ask to be. For 10 years, I ran from the ministry. God called me at the age of 18. I gave up at the age of 28. Okay? I wanted to be a businessman. Which I still am, but, you know, I didn't know I could be that and a pastor. But I am. But see, the thing that you need to know is that you can be associated. Okay, I got that. There is something a deacon, I'm going to name him, Deacon Cecil Stueman. At the Baptist church we were going to, he taught me something at the age of 12. He said, this is not a scripture, but you need to learn this, Don. Association brings on assimilation. I said, what do you mean? He said, if you hang around people long enough, you'll act like them. He said, and he would always tell me, association brings on assimilation. He was actually my shop teacher in junior high school in McIlvay, of all places. It's gone. They had to get rid of that school. But he said, association brings on assimilation, that if you associate with people long enough, you hang around with people that drink, you're going to end up drinking after a while. You hang around with smokers and talkers, all them smokers. After a while, you find yourself, well, let me see what that does. You know what I mean? You hang around people that cuss all the time, you're going to start cussing. Maybe not as bad. And see, you'll justify yourself. I don't cuss like they cuss. They cuss worse than me. I don't cuss like that. I mildly cuss. I only use some bad words. I don't use all the bad words. So I'm not as bad as them. And you start justifying yourself. I'm not as bad as so-and-so. So-and-so and such and such do this and do that. And I don't do this and I don't do that. But I do this and but I don't do that either. You're in the soulish realm. You're justifying in your mind whether your will is with God's will or not. Whether it makes you feel good or not. You're dealing with the soulish realm. You're already born again. I didn't say you wouldn't say. But after you get born again, you're going to have to deal with the soul until you see Jesus. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here to help y'all out with your soul. So that's why I call myself Dr. Don Soul Man Shorter. I ain't playing. God told me who I am and what I'm doing. That's my calling to the body of Christ. And some people like it, some people lump it. I don't give a rip. I'm just do what he tell me to do. So when you come up in here, you need to warn folks, he gonna get in your head. He's gonna get in your mind. He's gonna get in your will, what you doing, whether you serving God or not. He ain't even gonna make you cry or laugh. It's not me though. Because God says, I wish above all things in his word, 3 John 2, I wish above all things, above everything. Paul and John and all the disciples knew this. I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. 3 John 2, there it is. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers. So if your soul does not prosper in the things of God, you can hang it up. You ain't gonna make the money. You ain't gonna be happy. That marriage gonna be raggedy. You gotta get your soul together. And I'm the soul man. Now, I'm not the only one, but I am one. There's a whole lot of soul men. Actually, every pastor is a soul man. Because he deal with that congregation trying to get them to think right. Go with me to Romans. Turn to Romans. Let's see here. Romans 10. Romans 10 and 2, I guess. Let's go to Romans 10 and 2. These are coming to me right now. Okay. Continue to 3, 4. Okay. Go to the next one. I think I'm off. I am off. Okay, it'll come back to me where I want to go, but that's a side trail anyhow. Let's go back to Joshua. Joshua 7. I'll get back to that. But the children of Israel committed a trespass. The children of Israel, not just one person. If you're a policeman and you do something that violates the law, they're going to look at all policemen and say, see what they do? If you're a nurse, you're a doctor, you're a CPA, you handle finances, you work at the school, you're a school teacher, you work with those children. If you work at the store, you sell stuff at Macy's, you work in medical, they're going to put you with the group. But see, that's not fair because I'm living right. Don't blame me for what everybody else is doing. And they do that with Christians all day long because that's how the media does it. Because most of the media, I come out of it, most of them, they ain't saved. They all think, for the most part, a lot of them think they're stars. But they have to be told there's just one star. That's the morning star. And that's Jesus Christ. Now, there are many of them that have accepted that. I'm going to sit down again, but have accepted that. And don't have a problem with it. In fact, this week, along with pastors, I'll be meeting with 30 to 50 of our media people here in the Seattle-Tacoma area. And guess what they're going to get? A flyer about Jesus in the park. They've asked me to come. So here's what we need to do. We need to realize that we can't live as if we're above God. It's amazing to me how many people that got nothing got ego. Got nothing. You ain't influencing nobody. Nobody listening to you. You might give a rip about what you're talking about, but you got an attitude like you are all that. And what is wrong with you? Where do you get that from? And see, I don't know where we get it from. It's got to come from Satan. Because a lot of people have it. There's a big quantity of that issued. So it's got to come from the spiritual side. And Satan will make people feel like you don't need God. You got it all together. You're God to yourself. If they need anything, they need to come to you. You're the one who knows everything. And you've been on this planet for 25, 35, 50 years. Are you kidding me? We saw the books you read and the classes you didn't pass. So you ain't all that. We ask you a few questions. You got to go to Google. So you ain't all that either. See, because we can put ourselves up so high. I'm going somewhere. Come on, just follow. Don't drop off now. I only got a couple minutes left. Look at what it says. But the children of Israel committed a trespass. So if you were part of the group of the children of Israel, you're accused of committing a trespass. I'm trying to get this to you. Because if it's good, then you get the compliment also. You know, I really don't believe that the body of Christ, the church, not that they do it for that reason, get enough kudos for all the work they do to help the community. The church is out there. I mean, you know, if there was a hurricane next week, the church would be there. Red Cross, which many of those are believers, and churches support that, as well as Samaritan's Purse and other organizations would be there. We're trying to organize a group of pastors that are also pilots to where we can respond and bring Christian counselors in to be able to help people that are in distress because they saw their house just float down the river. Not that we know what to do, but we know who can be able to fix that. And we just fly in our private aircraft on smaller airports, if the larger ones, of course, are out, or fly in by helicopter, which is what happened in North Carolina. Many private folks did what they could do to help people because we're in distress. Mind, will, and emotions. Your emotions can block you from knowing God. So you're like, if God's going to let this happen to me, I don't want to serve him. So your feelings are hurting so bad. He did a trespass regarding the accursed thing. There was something that God told them, don't do that. What is God telling you not to do that you're doing anyhow? For some of us, we say, well, I still have a few drinks a week. Others of you, I know. I need to leave her alone. Others of you, well, he's cute. He looks good. Others of you, it was only my second piece of that pie. Yeah, we all can relate to that, right? I didn't eat too many. There was still 2/3 left. But you look like you ate the pie, too. I digress. Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. God said, don't take none of the stuff that these people you go and taking over their land, don't take none of their stuff because I speak that it's cursed. It's like saying, don't go down to the weed store here on 112th Street just past Canyon Road and buy that weed. Even though it's legal, you old enough to buy the weed, smoke it, puff it, eat it, you can do what you want. But God says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think the Holy Spirit wants to live in the bed. He's smoking a joint again. And the Holy Spirit's in there like, I don't know how long we can deal with this. It's all a crazy mess, man. Get out of here. But he's not going to leave you, never leave you or forsake you. But the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Did you know you can grieve the Holy Spirit? It means to torment him. There's God speaking to me about this morning through my devotions. He said, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, he the man. God the Son, he the boy. The Holy Spirit has a lot of what women do receive, a spirit of comfort, a nurturing spirit, the spirit that reminds their husbands, you need to do that. You missed that. We should turn around. You're going the wrong way. That's the Holy Spirit. He's our... And then when you're hurting, I don't care if you just cussed out that person, that lady comes over there, how you doing, rub your back. You know, she's got that Holy Spirit kind of comfort thing now. Until now, I mean, you know, they used to have it, but whatever. Can't go too far with that. You don't know. But see, here's what I'm saying. You got Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, it's a family. God is a family man. Why would there be a Father and Son, but yet not have the attributes? No, it's not. Holy Spirit's not a female. I'm saying that there's similar traits that we receive. God, I believe God had to create the woman. But look at it. Oh, well, now I'm seeing something else. Guess who would have just been here? All of us dudes, man. We looking for a place to shave, man. You know, won't even take a bath because the wives ain't saying nothing. You know what I mean? You ain't got no wife. You run around all funky. You know what I mean? Brothers wouldn't be taking a bath for weeks if it wasn't for the wives. Honey, you smell. You know what I mean? Well, fix my bath water or start the shower for me. See, we have that female part that's needed because she's the one that is the nurturer, the comforter. She's the one to help us. She is the helper. This, stand up. I'm going to put you on blast. Stand up. Stand up. The lady in pink, stand up. Stand up and come stand next to me. You'll get up. Come on, gift it. Come on over here. This is my helper. This girl helps me with everything. The suit I wear, the shoes I wear, the clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, not the shirt. She didn't pick the shirt. She didn't pick the shirt that goes up like that, okay? She helps me with everything. But guess who else helps me with everything? The Holy Spirit. So ladies, just quietly do your job. You don't get all the accolades. They don't always see you like Jesus was all over town. Okay, the crowds was following Jesus. The Holy Spirit's inside us. Nobody can see the work that he's doing. It's God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Say family. Say family. Say fam. Now, I got to deal with the family today, okay? Because we got some messed up stuff going on with the family. Mm-hmm. We do. And so the Lord put me on assignment to straighten this mess out. And some of the things I'm going to say, you ain't going to like. But I don't give a rip. That means that I don't care. That means that it's good for you. You need to really listen to this. Because I got to have that kind of attitude to preach this to you. Okay, so I only got a couple of minutes. Officially, I have one. Oh, 30 seconds. It was up. Okay, can I get 5 more minutes? Will you yield 5 more minutes to the brother from Louisiana? Okay, here we go. That's all I need is 5 minutes. Because many of us are associated with people that are not our families. Especially Christians, but we treat them like family. Now, I know they got all this old fake junk about, you know, this is my cousin, and this is, it ain't bit more your cousin than the man in the moon. First of all, you need to start lying on that. Stop lying on that. Stop telling lies, because people get confused. You know, I, as a pastor, I'm looking for family because we have a pecking order of how we help people based on immediacy of family. If you're immediate family, there's different benefits you have because you're a congregation member. I'm going to help your immediate family. We'll visit the prisons. We'll do all kinds of stuff. We'll be in the hospital and all this kind of stuff. But when you tell me, this is my sister, but it ain't your sister. And I'm saying, this is your sister, but the sister ain't saved. The sister only don't love God. The sister been cussing. The sister half drunk every time I see her. You know what I'm saying? How you a child of God and you make this your sister? That ain't your sister. It can't be your sister. You say, Pastor, why can't it be my sister? No, maybe in the physical it is, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that attach themselves to people because of relationship based on soulish realm things. We like the same kind of alcohol. We like the same favorite weed store. I don't know why I keep going to that. Who's smoking up in here? No, I'm just kidding. We got some smokers up in here. I know we got some. The rest of y'all eating that stuff. I don't know how you can do it. I can't do it. I can't do it, man. Shoot. I'm telling you. You know, it's hard enough for me to drink my cranberry juice once a day. I don't know. To keep my stomach in shape. But anyhow, you do what you want to do. You're just going to have a given account to the big boss. Anyhow, so we, now let me explain now, because I'm going to go back to the scripture, but I got to put some groundwork to this. We treat people like they are closer to us than our family in the kingdom of God. Do you know who your family really is? Because God asked me, who's your family? In so many ways, he was questioning me. I said, what do you mean, who's my family? You know my family. He said, go to the scriptures. I said, where? He said, go to the scriptures. I said, where? He said, you find it. Okay. So I went to the scripture here. We're going to get back to Joshua now. Matthew 12 and 47 we'll start at. Because this is going to be an adjustment for many of you. It's time for us to not fake like we got family. Sure getting quiet up in this Presbyterian church. No. Relax, it's all right, you'll be all right. Then one said to capitalize him, that's Jesus. Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. Now Jesus had all these people around him. Listen to me. You are going to affect your family by how you live. You are affecting them now. Your children especially are going to be affected by you. They're either going to emulate you or hate what you did. They're loving you right now or they're hating you on the inside. They're just too young to express it. Train up a child in the way he should go, that when he is old, he won't depart from that way. He'll go back to it. Boomerang. But what if you never trained him up in nothing and you never lived nothing? You never did nothing for God. You never talked about God. You never prayed. You never said nothing. You never read a scripture to him. You never did nothing but hinder them from the things of God. What is God going to say when that child finally finds the Lord without you and becomes a pastor? An usher, deacon, just a Christian. Then he said to him, look, they said to him, one said to him, one criticizer. Jesus got all these people around him and blessing families. And they want to criticize him because his mother and his brother are standing outside. Get your butt inside now. I ain't feeling sorry for you. You can fight the crowd. You can tell them, that's my son. That's my brother. Get out of the way. I got to go see my brother. James did, and finally we got the book of James. Nobody's feeling sorry for you. You got to come. This is the word that God gave me. You got to come like anybody else comes. Okay, I'm going there. If you ain't coming, that's your problem. I have children that I expect to come to this church. Unless God is speaking by the Spirit of God and Rhema word and saying, don't come. You need to be here for two reasons. I'm your daddy. Number two, I'm your daddy. Now, if God's telling you something else, I respect that. You enjoy yourself wherever you go. But if your father is pastoring and is living right in this city, you need to have your rump in this church. Now call him and tell him I said so. Tell him to watch the video online. See, I don't really give a rip. I've already prayed for 9 months now about this. And some of us, we are hugging people that ain't even saved more than we do the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus didn't do that. You know who his relatives were? You know who his mama? We're talking about Mother Mary, the one that the Catholics have made some kind of god almost. Mother Mary was waiting outside. Certainly she should use some credentials and get inside. But I don't think she really believed a whole lot about him anyhow at that point, maybe. Maybe after he went on the cross, she said, "This, my son was the Son of God." But see, we got to stop acting like God has to give us a special invitation to come into the house of the Lord. Get your rump in church or shut your mouth. Because some things you will never receive online. I can't touch you. The Bible says believers lay hands on the sick. I can't lay hands on you through that camera. Now, if the Spirit of God gives me the anointing to be able to do that, I'll do it. But I ain't had it since we've been on live stream. So some of you sick because you ain't come in to get your healing. And you're going to stay sick until you realize that you're going to have to make some effort to have a relationship with God. God's not cheap. Now, you can go tearing it off. I don't care. I won't know the difference. But see, I'm trying to help people to mature because we got babies in the body of Christ. You don't do it my way, I ain't coming. Stay your butt at home. Don't let the door hit you as you leave. Because I know what we got. We got God and company. And see, I have to be this way even by my own family. Now, I got relatives, all this kind of stuff. They got their own churches. That's wonderful. I ain't got no problem with that. God got you an assignment. You do your assignment. But if you don't know what you're doing and you wandering around in the wilderness trying to belong somewhere, well, you know you should be right there. I'm coming to you. Don't worry about it. I'm talking about me right now. I'm coming to your family. We're going to deal with you in a minute. But I have to clear up for myself because what's good for the pastor should be good for the people. Amen. So and I would say that to anybody here. If you're here and you shouldn't be here, you need to find out where you're supposed to be. But most of you know, I've said it's 3 Sundays now, I didn't send you no invitation to come here. You came because the Spirit of God brought you here. And see, I know that the Spirit of God sent me here. See, because we think we're supposed to go church shop. See what color the pastor is. See if he got good hair, bad hair. You know what I mean? You know, whether he looked good or not, whether he got a little sparkle in his eye, or if he knows how to hoop or not, you know. Whether he looks like the part that what you're looking for. That's stupid. You need to pray and say, God, send me where I'm supposed to go. Well, that ain't going to feel good. There we go back to the soul, man. Nobody care about your emotions. You need to go where the word is. You need to go where your supply is for your future. You need to go somewhere where somebody's going to close your eyes if you got to sit in the church and you don't like the people. You don't like the pastor. You don't like the way he looked. He should have a beard. I ain't growing no beard for you. I don't like beards. Okay, they're scratchy. I ain't thinking about you. You get your own beard. I ain't getting no beard. I don't want a beard. My son's got a beard for me. He'll be up in a few minutes and you can be able to talk to him. He'll, you know, love his beard, grab his beard, do whatever you want with his beard. I ain't getting no beard. I like clean shaven. That's what I want. Well, that's not my pastor. Then bye. Why don't you buy yourself a stupid beard wig? Just saying. Now all the brothers with the beard don't feel funny now. I see the brother with the beard like, it's not even about beards. Okay, bald head. I want a bald head. Come on up here, Walter. I want a bald head. Come on up here, Anthony. Come on. I want a pastor with a bald. Now I'm being silly. But this is how we are. Some are Paul, some Apollos, some Cephas. See here, go. Come on, Paul. Come on, you ain't coming on the platform. Come on over here. Okay. They're like, I need a head like this. I like bald head, man. Come on over here. I'm in the right church. Oh, glory to God. And it's brown. Oh, God. A brown bald head. This is my brother-in-law. I can do him like that. But see, that's not what it's all about. It's not your flavor. The Spirit of the Lord told me, stop making color a barrier for your relationship with Him. Some people will not go to the church that has a brown pastor in it. Oh no! He's brown! You're gonna let color stop you from all that God has for you? You get cancer, like this woman over here had cancer, and you're gonna let that anointing not come upon you because he's brown? I don't care if he's purple with polka dots, I'm going. I got that. I'm about done. Apostle Frederick Casey Price, my mentor, my father in the faith, Dr. Betty Price, our mom in the faith, hopefully we can see her very soon, would tell the story of having a prayer line for healing. He had a real strong anointing for arthritis, rheumatism, and that kind of phlebitis, something. Anyhow. He had a very strong calling. Mine is for cancer. God has always healed people with cancer with me. I don't know why. You know, it started with the church. That's how we got Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask, think, according to the power that works in you. That was because of a woman that got totally healed from cancer. But he would stand, I'm closing now. He would stand there with a line of people. And some of the white people would tell him, don't put your black hand on me. Thank God we don't have that. We got everybody up in here and looking for more. But see, we can make color a challenge in our growth in the Lord. That shouldn't matter. The Lord said, go to the other side. I'm about done. Some people, if my wife were preaching this morning, when she is anointed, she is a prophet of God. Don't let what she says, when she's speaking about anointing, don't let what she says go, fall to the ground on you. You're going to miss it. And sometimes, she's so unassuming, I have to be able to make sure, is that what the Lord is showing you? Because she'll just say it, and she'll say it like a wife nagging. And I had to learn, she ain't nagging. She's got an unction by the Holy Spirit, and she keeps saying that because after a while, the Holy Spirit, he'll say, you need to really show, or you need to change, or you need to. And you don't hear nothing. Because he's not going to be grieved by you ignoring him. And she's like that. And I had to learn that. But if she was up here preaching, there would be some people that say, I don't want to go to that church because there's a woman preacher. You idiot. The first person to preach about Jesus raising from the dead was a woman. So maybe you should tear your Bible up and throw it away. Because it says that the women were the first ones. Peter was too slow. They beat him. Now, as we go into this, I want us to be able to identify who our real family is. It's going to be painful. He answered him and spoke to him, verse number 48. Who is my mother, my brother, and who are my brothers? Next verse, please. And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples, the followers of his teachings, and said, here are my mother and my brothers. In other words, you ain't my relatives if you don't hear the word of God. And we've got people close to us that have nothing to do with God, people that curse God, people that hate God, people fighting against the church, fighting against the pastor, fighting against his wife, fighting against everything. And we make, that's my mother, my brother, my... No, I can't do that. I got all kinds of relatives, friends, whatever, but I can't make you my family unless you gonna serve my God. You're still a child of God. God created you. But I can't afford to associate with you. Because I'm not gonna run after you because you won't run after where I am in the crowd. Now, some people gonna get angry at you. Thanksgiving, they're not gonna invite you. Okay, I've been through that. They're not going to invite you for the birthday parties. They don't like you. They think you're stuck up, and they use those things to talk about you. See, I'm talking more real than y'all are. They use those things to talk about you, put you down, but you got to be able to just suck it up and just keep on going, because you ain't doing it for them anyhow. You're doing this for the Lord. My mother, I had a great mom. My mom was a wonderful woman. I got a lot of her personality. You want to blame somebody? Blame Mary Alice Shorter. She had two first names, Mary and Alice. Mary Alice Shorter, formerly Johnson. That lady could make any enemy love her. All she had to do was talk to you. And you, after a while, you'd be hugging her. And I want more of that trait, but I ain't got it, you know, because I keep preaching like this. But anyhow, y'all know what I'm saying. My mother and my brother are those that are receiving the word of God. Make sure. See, this is why your church should be your family. You talking about fam, my fam. This is your family. This is your family. I don't care if they're black, white. I don't care if they're Hispanic. I don't care if they're Chinese. Whatever they are, whoever they are, this is your family. And until you get that, you're going to have a tough time, because you don't know who you're going to be next to in heaven. You might even be bunking with somebody that's different than you. We ain't going to sleep up there. But anyhow, you may be close neighbors. I prayed for my neighbor right here. I want my wife. Actually, I want us to be in the same mansion if we can. I know, you know, we're married, but, you know, that's over by the time we get up there. You know what I mean? Anyhow, but I love her company. Okay. Close your Bibles. We're done. Did you get something out of this today? Study that scripture. Come on, study that scripture. Don't patty cake. Clap. Come on, it's the Lord's word, not mine. Don't patty cake. Don't act like you're sorry that you came today. Come on, be excited. Those of you watching my live stream, I want to give you a thank you for being part of this time together. I pray that you would pray this prayer. Say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you today as the one to be able to rescue me from my own life. And I'll receive you and your eternal life into my life in Jesus' name. So I die, you come alive in me every day now. In Jesus' name, I call it done. And everybody said, amen. Have a great afternoon. If you prayed that prayer, let us know. Write us and let us know that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Come on, let's thank God for our first time. I'm sorry, for our live stream audience.